a new episode of DFV. I'm your co-host, Black Cinephile.
And I'm your co-host, Brad.
There's your co-host, Brad. And on this one, we're taking together two films that are so sad. We got Josh Boone's The Fault in Our Stars versus Justin Baldoni's 5 Feet Apart. And yeah, man, we got two sad, I want to say young adult films. One is definitely young adult, but two sad young adult films about, a pair of lovers who, they won't let their health conditions stop them from falling in love.
Yeah, it comes down to these movies were very popular when they came out as very intense dramas, because not only do you have the love story in here, it's young adults, but it's people with health concerns that are trying to overcome those health concerns and continue to be their own person, regardless of the conditions that they're put in. And for A Fault in Our Stars, that one especially, I remember when it first came out, it had a huge ride with people talking about this one for a long time. 5 Feet Apart, I don't remember hearing too much from people after it came out, but at the same time, it's one that has still like a cult following to it.
I think the following for 5 Feet Apart came after it got released, like on DVD and stuff.
Yeah, that's possible, because I remember it coming out in theaters, and then it just kind of, there was nothing after that.
Yeah, but and we'll talk about it when we get to it, but The Fault in Our Stars, when that hit theaters, I mean, that was a big one.
Yeah, that one took everything by storm, but at the same time, it was also based off a book that was highly popular already leading up to it. The Fault in Our Stars, there was actually a remake being made back at Fox prior to the buyout with Disney, that completely got just scrubbed away during that buyout. But it's such a popular story that they were even looking to make another movie featuring that story, even though this one just came out in like 2014.
Yeah, that was going to be like a foreign language one, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to take place, I believe, in like France was going to be the setting for it, if I recall correctly.
I think there was okay. You might be right, but I think there was one that was supposed to be, because I know there's a hint. Well, we'll get to it, but okay, gotcha. All right, so starting off with this one, man, I guess I would say, since Fault in Our Stars is the more popular one, and it kind of, it just happened to come first, I think we should roll with that off the top. You know, we're not a chronological show here, folks. So, this is a one-time deal. We're just doing this for convenience.
Yeah, I got to agree on that one. It just makes more sense to start with it. But this isn't going to be setting a precedent for future episodes by any means. So we're always going to kind of just be rolling the dice with what we go with. But this one, it just makes sense for us to start with it. So without further ado, let's jump into The Fault in Our Stars, starring Shailene Woodley as Hazel Lancaster, a girl that is going through chemotherapy with cancer and trying to continually survive the situation that she's in. There are a bunch of help groups that her parents are trying to get her to be involved with. One of them in particular, she meets August, another cancer survivor that ended up losing his leg in the process, but is in remission at the time. And the two form a sweet bond with each other, having the condition of cancer and everything like that as a staple that they've both severely been, affected by, and able to kind of survive with each other in the process. And that's the basic premise of this story. It's a very simple premise, but its heart really comes from the fact of where these two characters are coming from. They're both kind of outcasts for different reasons. With Hazel, she has a lot of concerns with her health and everything like that. She has breathing problems. So going to school and taking regular classes and everything was a struggle. So she ended up going through like homeschooling, getting her GED, and her parents are very controlling on what she does, where she goes, to protect her. So she has a very sheltered life. Then you have August, who is a little bit more out there, but he doesn't like forming relationships with people because he doesn't see the point in it due to his condition and how life is fleeting. There's no reason to bother trying to make a name for yourself because what does it even matter? He does, however, have one friend named Isaac that is, again, somebody that has cancer, but he has it in his eyes, leading him to eventually go blind. And the three of them kind of create this nice little group of friends throughout the movie. For this one, I've seen this movie a couple times before. It's one of those movies that is enjoyable, but I hate watching it because it's so hard to get through because it is such a depressing story.
Okay. You know what? This is a film. This is my first time seeing this, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a film that, you know, certain people just know about this movie when they see it. Like, you know, when you see a shortcut Shailene Woodley on screen paired with a younger Ansel Elgort, you go, oh, wait, Fault in Our Stars. I know what that is. Like, it was funny because, you know, 5 Feet Apart and Fault in Our Stars are just like so paired together. My wife came downstairs. She said, is this the Feet Apart movie? I said, no, wrong sad movie.
This is the other movie. We'll get to that one later. Don't worry.
Right. This is the other one. See, they're paired together so well in conversations. These are like people confuse them. But this is my first time seeing this. I didn't quite know what to expect. I knew it was going to be a romance and I knew somebody was going to die in the end. But I didn't like know, like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, how is this going to drag out to 2 hours and 6 minutes? But I feel like the main thing that keeps you going here. Oh, were you about to say something?
Oh, no, keep going.
Oh, I feel like the main thing that keeps you going here is like the chemistry between Woodley and Elgort. Mm-hmm. You know, like you want to see these characters make it. I love, like, you know, the first time they meet each other and in the prayer circle. You know, you got that look, you know, like you got that look of people who are looking at each other that are, you know, one is curious about the other. It's a nice meet cute. But I like some of the dialogue they have when they're outside the church. And, you know, he puts a cigarette in his mouth and she goes, dude, you were doing so well with me. Like you actually would have got my number. And now you got this. You just ruined it, dude. You want to smoke and you just survived cancer. What's wrong with you? And then he explains, oh, no, I don't smoke. I just put a cigarette in between my teeth. You know, the thing that could kill you the most, you just put it in between your teeth as a metaphor. And I love how that joke kind of carries the rest of the film, even when they're on the plane. And she's like, sir, you can't smoke on here. Oh, no, he's not smoking. It's a metaphor. Like, I like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I like how that dialogue reoccurs. And I like that it's a nice meet cute for them.
Right. Yeah, the scene on the plane is great because I love how the stewardess is still like, well, you need to put that metaphor away. You know,
right.
It's not allowed on any flights anymore. Yeah, the saying of you take the thing that can kill me and don't give it the power to actually do it is the full saying that Ansel or that his character says for the cigarettes.
Yeah. It's a charming movie for sure. You know, starting off, I like the dynamic between the two of them. I like following Hazel for a while. You know, Augustus, I feel like, is a nice foil to her. You know, he's lively, right? Mm-hmm. And she's a little bit more closed off a little bit because of what she's gone through with thyroid cancer and things of that nature. But I like how they I like how they compare books. He gives her a book based on his favorite video game, and she gives him a book called The Imperial Affliction, you know, which kind of comes up in the plot a little later too. Mm-hmm. But I love how the first time when she checks back in on him, he goes, dude, the book is so good, but it's so sad. That's how I feel like, that's how I feel about this movie. I feel like it's a pretty good movie, but it's just so sad.
Yeah, I love how his one complaint about it, too, is he goes, yeah, it literally ends in the middle of a sentence. You know, how can you do that to me? Where's the sequel? Where's the next book? And it's like, there isn't one. That's just how it ends, you know? And I love how it's like a way for like the writer, like later on, we meet the writer of the book and everything like that. But like even before that, you kind of go, yeah, it's a creative way for them to even talk about when you die, there's still things going on. There's still parts right. of the story you want to know about. And even though it was a firsthand account from that person and the book ends when they die, it makes sense. But yeah, I still want to know what happens to the other characters. What happens to the mother? What happens to the father? What happens to everybody else? And see, go on.
I was going to say, see, part of me, I guess the writer in me goes, I understand for the sake of the movie, like why she would have these questions. Hazel's mm-hmm. really attracted to this book. She feels attracted to this book because the character in the book, I believe, was sick. You know?
Yeah.
So I get it.
It was the fact that the character has the same condition she has. And it's right. one of those things where it's like, it to her, when she dies, what happens to the people around her? And that's why she questions the book.
Right, right. What happens to the people that are still around after we leave? I get it. So, but in my mind, I'm like, dude, that's an unfair question to ask an author. Because yeah. most of the time, it's whatever you think happened. I mean, because at the end of the day, the author doesn't know unless they got a sequel planned. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I even love when we do meet the author, played oh, yeah. by Willem Dafoe perfectly.
It,
one of his things he says, like, I'll admit, he's comes off as a dick in this movie, but one of the things he says yeah. is, that's when the book ends. There is no after. There is no more. You know, that's the point. The book ends. These characters don't exist. And it's like, yeah, that as much of a dick you are, that's a reasonable response.
Yeah, he's not lying. You know what I mean? But here is the thing that really made me go, oh, man, why would you say something like that? Is that when, you know, when Hazel and Gus are kind of like, you know, drilling him a little bit, like, come on, man, just you can tell us something. And then he goes, listen, you are a genetic mutation, all right? That's just the way it is. You know, life, get like you roll the dice in life and you got a bad hand. I was like, that's not a thing to say to somebody that has cancer. Like, oh, you are a genetic mutation. It's like, what?
Yeah, he's a major dick to them.
Right.
And I love how even when they're coming into the house, you can see like all the letters that he just hasn't responded to, just strewn about. You have him like telling the assistant, make them go away. Well, they're here to see you. I don't care. I don't want to see them. They're just some Americans. Well, you're also American. Sadly, it's a condition I can't remove.
Right, right. I love it. He just puts on Swedish hip hop out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Guys like Swedish hip hop. And you see them just looking kind of awkward as he's playing the music. One thing I like that my wife said is that, because it had been a while since she saw the film. She didn't remember his character. She says, oh, he's in here. I hope he's not a villain. And by this, because, you know, she knows him from Green Goblin. Mm-hmm. And so by the time the scene was over, he says, why is he always playing an a-hole in movies? And right. why is he so good at it?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe, absolutely fantastic as an actor. Yeah. He definitely gets like the villain vibe down, especially like the I don't care anymore nonchalant kind of villains.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just gave up on life. You know, I've been through a lot. He definitely has that look. I want to touch on, because that's the main reason they took the trip. She wanted to speak with the author, then found out he was a douche, you know, wanted to learn about the ending. I want to talk a little bit about Nat Wolff's character, Isaac, who's Augusta's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's an interesting side plot, because, you know, Isaac has, you know, in the beginning of the movie, he has like a beautiful girlfriend that kind of ends up dumping him because she didn't want to feel the guilt of, you know, not being around if when his eye gets taken or when he dies. What was the reason?
Her reasoning was she didn't want to put up with. Or she didn't want to support him after his surgery. So he was going to be blind for the rest of his life. And she didn't want to be around him after that.
Mm. Yeah, that was pretty sad, man. Because I remember when I saw that scene, I was like, there's a way to do that. But the way to do something, do it that way is pretty, that's pretty bummy.
Yeah, so I mean, they're still like teenagers, young adults.
Yeah,
there's selfishness in there and everything like that. Like, it's completely shitty, but it's not outside the realms of. I can believe that conversation has happened plenty of times.
Right. Of course.
Exactly like that too.
You got that moment where you're at your boy's crib, like, man, so and so dumped me. You know, she went for the football jock. Yeah, you know, it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. But what I noticed, so the scene is a little weird where they're egging, cause I imagine they're egging the girlfriend's car. Right. And then the mom comes out, goes like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Oh, and I love how there's one point Augustus says, ma'am, basically paraphrasing what he says, like, miss, we're on our last legs here. I want to make my friend happy. So we're egging your daughter's car. You know, she did something that was pretty sucky. You might want to move because we got more eggs here.
Yeah.
Mom just walks back inside the house.
Yeah. The best part about his speech is he just goes, among the three of us, we have 4 working eyes, you know, 5 working legs, 3.5 working lungs. We're on our last legs, and I'm just trying to cheer my friend up. So you best just turn around and go back inside. And I love how Isaac even goes, that has got to be the dumbest speech I've ever heard. How in the world did that work?
Right. He's like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know how it worked. Yeah, man. Like, they all have a great dynamic with each other. I will say, this movie did not need to be this long.
No, it does drag a little bit in length. But at the same time, a lot of the conversations... I will say the conversations are paced out well. Mm-hmm. None of them feel like they're just there for filling time, and mm-hmm. none of them feel. I don't want to say like unrealistic because yes, they're talking about deep conversation topics and everything like that. It's rough conversation, and they're having these conversations very nonchalantly in the movie, but at the same time, they're paced well conversations.
Yeah. I would say, like, listen, the dialogue is paced, you know, the romance is paced. It is. It's a me thing. I feel like this when I see a romance film that's like 2 hours, I'm like, unless it's Titanic and there's action adventure involved, you don't really need to be this long.
Right. I got you there. It's definitely not a very like tight movie when it comes to its timing, but at the same time, that's not what it's trying to be either. It's trying to be that kind of give the moment, let them kind of live their lives, show that they're trying their best to go against the circumstances that they've been given in life. Mm-hmm. You know, everything like that. When they're going through everything in Amsterdam, it's like, this is cute. Having them sit down and eat and everything, it's slow. There's scenes where they're kind of just awkwardly sitting there and stuff, and it's like, it's slow, but it's not something I would have cut out of the movie at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, other than that, I love the eulogy scene. I feel like that's a pretty, like, you know, sad, pretty, like, great sad scene. Mm-hmm. And I love the final, you know, kind of like, you know, letter to her in the end as well. Other than that, man, do you got anything else you want to say about this?
Not really much comes to mind. I think we pretty much hit the major notes here. But it just comes down to this one is held strongest by the characters and by the acting. The plot itself is a very bare bones love story at its heart. It's where the acting comes in from, you know, Shailene Woodley, Ansel Elgort, you know, Willem Dafoe during his small part in this, Nat Wolff, even, you know, Hazel's parents, Laura Dern, Sam Trammell. Everything, you know, with their scenes is also fantastic, where you have the situation of the parents trying to take care of their daughter and being fearful of what's going on and all the same things. And even one of, like, Hazel's memories from when she was a kid is remembering, you know, how traumatic and everything, and how her parents kind of felt that when she died, she no longer mattered due to the way that her mother was reacting to the possibility of her, you know, passing away.
Gotcha. Yeah, I give this one a 3.5.
Okay. I have this one as a very strong 4 out of 5. You know, it's a strong movie with a lot of, you know, the acting's great, the writing is there, the, you know, characters and everything, they fit in well. There's a lot I love about this movie, but yeah, it is still a romance movie, which typically isn't my vibe. This one kind of stands a little bit more out of it because it does actually have other things going on besides just the romance, with the whole medical conditions, the dealing with cancer, the dealing with all of that. And so it kind of steps up a little bit with all of that, that it stands out amongst the, you know, hodgepodge of all other romance that are just a copy paste of boy meets girl, girl likes boy likes girl, yay movie.
Right, it's nuanced, there's nuance to it.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that matters, but yeah, man, it's just with the romance film being a little too long for me, it's just I feel like a romance film should be like 100 minutes tops.
I can understand that. I feel like this one uses its time well, even though it's longer. But yeah, I can understand why generally, if a romance goes over an hour and a half, I'm kind of just like, but why though? what reason do you have?
Right. Absolutely. All right, y'all. With that being said, we're going to move on to the next one here. Our next film is 5 Feet Apart. The 2019 film directed by Justin Baldoni, his directorial debut. So with this film here, you got two young patients in a hospital, played by Haley Lou Richardson and Cole Sprouse. They're patients with cystic fibrosis. Now, these two, you know, start to gain a romance with each other, but the only kicker is they have to stay 6 feet apart from each other with risk of one infecting the other. So it's that thing where, you know, you got two of these characters that are living in a hospital, and in regards to another character as well, that's like a mutual friend, and them trying to like gain a romance, keep fighting for their lives, keep fighting to live and find meaning in their life of fighting this like debilitating disorder, that debilitating you know, health condition that they have. And that's kind of like the bare bones plot of 5 Feet Apart. Now, again, kind of what you said about Farts in Our Stars. I heard a lot about this film when it got released to DVD and streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard like, oh yeah, it's that great romance film where they couldn't touch each other. In theory, that's a great idea for a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like You Got Mail or anything, like where it's like you don't live near each other. You got two people who fall in love over the internet or something like that, and they can't touch each other. No, these people are around each other, but they physically cannot touch each other to literally save their lives.
Right. One of them has a disease that affects their lungs. So they're on the transplant list for new lungs, while the other one has a disease that negates them from being able to get a transplanted lung. So if they come within too close of each other, they risk of, you know, transmitting that over to the other and making them both completely ineligible for new lungs. And that's what it comes down to, is Will has the... He got some experimental treatment and it had an after effect on him, and as a result, he no longer can get any transplanted lungs. You know, he's kind of like on his deathbed until he goes out. Stella, on the other hand, does have the opportunity still. You know, they know that a transplanted lung would be able to take, as they say, where her body would accept the new lung and be able to use it and everything like that, and hopefully help her with her conditions. So with that, they're not allowed to be with each other, but they're kind of locked in the same building with each other. That's where this one has its, I don't want to say gimmick, but its draw as more than just a standard romantic comedy or romantic drama, is that they're kind of locked in the building with each other, being unable to get near each other.
Yeah, it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick.
Yeah.
But it's a gimmick that works for the film.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I like about Will is that, you know, Will's he's a cynic, you know, because he knows his prognosis is grim. You know, he's very like lax about it. Like, hey, if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. And I like how Stella is like, you know, she's a go-getter. She's optimistic. You know, like the best kind of romance are the type where they're like, you got two opposites. You know, there's either one that's the cynical one that's the outgoing one. You know, they can't both be the same type of person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. But I like how, you know, like Stella kind of like brings Will up. Like, hey, man, you know, fight for yourself. Like, even if the prognosis is grim, fight for yourself. She inspires him with her YouTube videos. They FaceTime each other. It's a cute dynamic. And then you also got the mutual friend played by Moses Arias Poe. You know, he's a good mutual friend of theirs. So I like the dynamic here. I like the nurse played by Kimberly Heber Gregory. You got a nice dynamic. Look, man, first movie was 2 hours and 6 minutes. This is 116 minutes. I let it go on the first one. This one, I said, this really don't need to be this long.
Yeah, it with this movie, I think the bigger thing is, to me, at the very least, Stella and Will aren't as likable of characters. You know, Stella is a very ADHD, neat freak, you know, very by the books. She goes through her regimen exactly the same way every single day. And Will, being kind of the anarchist of sorts, he's cynical. Mm. He doesn't really care, but he's. For some reason decides to go along with her plan. It doesn't show like why he does. He kind of just goes, she's cute. They can never be together. But at the same time, he's willing to divulge into her level of like ADHD in order to appease her. And she doesn't give anything on her side aside from being like, no, you gotta do this, you gotta do this, you gotta do this, everything like that. It makes for one of those relationships that you're watching this and you're just going, this is a subject of, you know, happenstance. This isn't a chance meeting of these two. This isn't they're in this together situation. It's they're locked into a hospital with each other. That there's... Mm-hmm. They are literally a Beauty and the Beast situation where they're both in the Stockholm syndrome. Mm. And it makes it a lot harder to be like, oh, this is a cute couple, because it's like, no, outside of them being locked in the literal same building with each other, there's nothing cute about this couple.
Yeah. Yeah. Stella's she's a little anal. I agree with you. And Will is just kind of just giving up. On paper, it doesn't really make sense why it will work. But, you know, that's where chemistry comes in. And I do think Haley and Cole do have good chemistry in the film.
Yes.
They make what they can with the material. Like, they have good chemistry on screen. And, you know, when they have their first date and they got the pool cube, you know, it's cute. You know, watching them walk around the hospital with the pool cube and then they go to the pool, take a swim. It's cute moments. Like, the material is all right. It's all right. Like, because the characterization of the both of them and them getting falling in love is just, it just doesn't work. It feels like they fall in love for convenience of plot, like you said.
Right. You don't see these two and going, oh, yeah, they're making these sacrifices with each other. It's more, oh, he's making these sacrifices for her. And I get that the story is from her perspective. It's supposed to be, you know, her love story and everything like that. And it's like one of those tropes that so many romance has where it's like, well, no, he's got to bend the entire knee over to her. And then it's a happy romance. And it's like, ah, is it, though? You know, this is just. But with this, yes, there are some cute parts with it and everything like that, where like the pool stick, where she's like, you know, we got to stay 6 feet apart. This pool stick's 5 feet. We're going to take that extra foot. And that's going to become ours. You know, we're going to have that. And it's like, oh, that's cute. You know, that's nice. And that's where the movie title comes in. Good job. And then from there, it's just kind of like, and then they start doing like these dinners and everything that Poe's making for them, apparently. And they're risking everything. And if there's anybody that I identify with the most in this movie, it's got to be the nurse. That's just like, you have got to be kidding me on this stuff. Right. Where she's like, no, you don't do this. You might be okay risking your life, but I'm not okay with you risking your life.
Yeah, see, she's got a job to do at the end of the day, and it's to keep these people alive. Like, right. She understands, look, your kids, but come on, man, this is serious.
Yeah. Like, this is very serious. You have a chance to get out of here, and you're throwing it away for something that it's so trivial. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. What are you doing? And even with Poe as like the like best friend of the two, who's also just kind of locked into this situation. Of course, in order to make it so it's not a love triangle situation, he's gay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Knock him out of the love triangle situation right away. Convenient writing. Right. We're good.
Right. Yeah, that is convenient. You know what I mean? That's another plot convenience. Or he's the token black friend.
Right, you know? Yeah. They pretty much went through the wheel. They spin it, and they were like, oh, it's going to be a gay best friend on this one. Okay, perfect. Right. We got to follow some kind of romance trope.
And then they got to have a scene where he dies, too, which, you know, I got to admit, that was a pretty, like, that was a pretty sad scene.
Yeah, that one does hit, because this was the first time that I had seen this movie. I had heard of it, but I had never actually watched it or anything. That scene did surprise me.
Yeah, it was a pretty effective scene. But one thing that just gets me, man, is, you know, when we get to the end and, you know, Stella just gives up, right? And, you know, Will follows her out to the snow and he goes, wait a minute, they found lungs for you? Like, what are you doing out here? And I don't know, man, part of me just got mad because I'm like, she plays that joke on him, right? Where she falls backwards and he goes to make sure, like, is she, like, you know, she has a fake out where she acts like she's choking and she says, part of me was like, okay, is the film trying to not make us like her at all?
Right.
Because that wasn't really funny.
It not only that, it's out of character for her.
Yeah.
It's a stupid decision altogether because it plays it all. And I'm sure the movie tried to like explain it with her feelings and being like, is why she was doing this. But I was just so angry at like the thought of like, why are you doing movie? This is dumb. Why are you doing this movie? Come on now. You know, because it has like her parents come in, you know, Will's parents come in and they're just like, oh my God, what's going on and stuff. And I love how Will's parents are like, I swear if your daughter, no, it was Stella's parents going, I swear if your son has tempted our daughter into doing some kind of stuff, you know, outside of the hotel and everything. And the nurse just goes, actually, this was definitely Stella's doing on this one. This has her written all over it. It's just like, oh, that was such a slam dunk. But at the same time, movie, you're pulling so many stupid moves in this series of part of the movie. It's hard to give you props for one, you know, step in the right direction.
There was another way to get us to a point like this instead of Stella doing something stupid that makes no sense for her character.
Right.
You know, because you can say as many things. Oh, it's grief. Oh, she's a teenager. I'm like, grief makes you do strange things, but that did not make sense for her character.
No, because from my understanding, she knew that a new heart was coming, and that's when she was running away. And so when she's getting the call and everything to tell her, like, that the new heart's on its way, where are you? You should be here right now. And she just ignores the call, and it's just like, that is... I already was very iffy on liking you as a character.
Right. You know,
I love Haley as the actress. She played it perfectly. But the character of Stella is just so hard to like. And then she does that. It's just like, no, I don't want you to get the lung anymore. I want to see you die. Make that the happy ending, please.
Stay underneath the ice.
Stay don't underneath the up. Ice. Let right, that be the end of the movie. Up. Please, go out mid-sentence. That's what I want from this movie.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy, though. Again, the ending is, you know, it's a nice drop-off point, I guess. You know, with the kind of like parting gift that Will gives her.
All the drawings that he had been making of her throughout the movie.
Yeah, it's a nice, cute ending. Do you have any? You got any more thoughts on this one?
Not really. This one was for all the times I've heard people talk about this one, I was expecting a lot more from it. It was kind of a letdown to me. Like, I was expecting this one to be one of those. I already knew that I enjoyed A Fault in Our Stars. I expected this to be like, oh, we're going to have two movies, and this one's going to be a hard one to pick which wins. No, not at all. This movie's a 2 out of 5 to me.
You know, it's funny because I started this one first before I watched Fault in Our Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And when this one ended, I was like, I looked at the time for Fault in Our Stars. Okay, I said, all right, this is 2 hours and 6 minutes. This better be a better movie.
Yeah.
You know, so, and when I started, I was like, okay, I'm hooked in from the beginning. I didn't get that with 5 Feet Apart. It took me a while to kind of settle in. Like, you know, the characters didn't really draw me in. I'm like, okay, let me give it some time. Maybe I'll come around here. This is one of those ones where I guess I get why it was so popular, but it didn't hit for me. This is a 2.5.
Yeah, this is one where I now understand why I stopped hearing about this movie after it released, instead of like A Fault in Our Stars, where people still bring up this movie. It's actually funny. There was earlier this week, I actually saw a meme template kind of thing where it was like, movies about girls that get cancer, and it's A Fault in Our Stars, and then movies where men get cancer, and it's Deadpool. And it's like, okay, that's funny. But at the same time, it's like, A Fault in Our Stars is so still holding up that much that you see, like, new reference things to it.
Yeah. Even to this day, the film is referenced, for sure. So what you got on this one, man?
Oh, man, this is a hard choice. We almost need a coin flip in order for me to decide.
Wait a minute. Heads. What's your rating?
Oh, this one's a 2 out of 5. I already said this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But totally a coin flip on this. You know, heads, Fault in Our Stars wins. Tails, A Fault in Our Stars wins. It's anybody's game.
Okay. Gotcha. Sorry, I didn't hear your rating. My bad. Fault in Our Stars is definitely the better movie here. It's no question. Okay. So moving on from that, going to the after show here. Well, I saw a little film over the weekend. Did you see anything?
I did not. I tried to get out a little bit this weekend and see something, but it was Oktoberfest out here. So that's where my entire weekend was spent.
Wait a minute, it's September.
Yeah, Oktoberfest is in September.
But it's Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Where's the confusion here? What's the problem?
Shouldn't it be in October?
You would think that, wouldn't you?
I don't know what that is, man. What's Oktoberfest?
Oktoberfest is a German tradition, especially in Munich, that is a drinking festival, more or less.
Okay. Why do we have it in September?
That's a great question. I'm sure there's an answer out there. I have no idea, though.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. That's funny. All right, man. Well, I celebrated my birthday over the weekend, man. It's my 31st year around the sun. It's funny. I thought I was 32, and then my wife had to correct me saying, no, you're not. You're 31. You know, because her birthday is before mine. She's older than me. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm 31. After I hit 30, man, I kind of stopped counting.
Right, yeah. I understand that. I have to do the math problem when people go, hey, how old are you? And it's like, okay, hold on. Born in this year. This.
Carry the three.
Yeah.
Right. For sure. But yeah, man, I had a great time. I bought some Blu-rays. I got Better Call Saul, the complete series, something I had been eyeing for a long time.
Nice.
Yeah, I got Westworld, complete series. Yeah, for sure. I went to see. You say you just did Oktoberfest. I went to see The Substance with Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley.
Okay.
Dude, very, very good movie, man. Took me by surprise. I had heard early rave reviews for it when it was on the festival circuit, but you know, sometimes films kind of get hyped up on the festival circuit and then you really see it and you're like, oh, okay, well, that was cool. Mm-hmm. That lives up, man. Very good movie. It does have some body horror in it. I didn't know how bad it was. I didn't know how bad it was going to be. That's why I was hesitant to suggest it for a future episode, because I know you don't like those type of movies.
Right. It's just not my vibe.
I got you. I think you would like this, though, because okay. The bulk of it is satire. The body horror doesn't really come for like the last 30 minutes. And even then, it's out there, but it's an enjoyable, wild movie. It's your choice if you want to watch it. But Demi Moore's performance was fantastic. Margaret Qualley is great. Dennis Quaid is a huge a-hole. He plays the role perfectly. Yeah, dude, it's a great film about aging, you know, taking a sip of the fountain of youth and, you know, running into the disastrous consequences from doing such a thing. I love it, man. I thought it was a great sci-fi movie, great satire about beauty standards. I thought it was top notch. I give it a strong 4.5.
Okay. So, yeah, I might have to, when it comes out on like streaming or comes out to, you know, video on demand, it ends up being like a dollar rental or something like that. I might check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, when it comes to like body horror movies, it's just, unless it's like super over the top, like The Fly, I can get into that. You know, when it's something like, I'm trying to remember the Kevin Smith one with the wall, Tusk, where it's just like absolutely played for comedy. You know, I can get into that.
So you're saying you didn't like The Fly?
I was okay with The Fly.
Okay, well, if you're okay with The Fly, I guess you'll be okay with the last 30 minutes. It does get a little gross.
Okay.
But, like, it's not the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's, you would like the movie, man. It's directed very well. Coralie Farjeet, I believe this is like her second film, directed very well, man. I feel like you would like it.
Okay. Yeah. When it comes to streaming or comes to like a discounted rental or something like that, I might check it out.
For sure. For sure. But you know what I'm looking forward to this weekend? Megalopolis.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have my tickets ready for that one. I'm excited for that movie.
That's a film that I want to see. How bad it is, how wild it is, how good it is. I just want to see what it is, because
right.
you get a wide range of reviews. You get some people saying that was too much. You get some people saying that was bad. You got some people saying, oh, that was great. But one thing you always hear everybody say is that it's entertaining. It keeps your attention.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a story that everybody always talks about from the book and everything like that. I'm excited to see this come.
What do you mean from the book?
Isn't this the one based off the book, or am I thinking of a different movie?
Oh, you're thinking of Metropolis, I think. Yeah, you're thinking of Metropolis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So this one right here, this is a film Francis Ford Coppola, who made The Godfather. He sold his winery to invest in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a film he's been working on for many years, and he finally self-funded it. And it took a long time for him to get investors to get distribution. But yeah, so that's what this film is. It's an original story by him. Because I can tell how you can kind of connect the two because they got similar titles. But no, that's Metropolis. This is Megalopolis.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the same thing, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, man, I'm excited, man. You know, I like Adam Driver. He's got a stacked cast here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what it's offering.
Yeah, because that is coming this weekend, right?
Yes. Down here, last time I checked, they had a screening that I was gonna go to it, but it was so far, dude. Like, they had me traveling out of state. I'm like, I'm not traveling out of state from Megalopolis. I'll watch it when it gets here.
Yeah, I didn't see any screenings for it pop up here. I saw like run of engagement passes, which is where the studio just kind of goes, here's some tickets to go see it when it comes out. It's like, I already got A-list. I don't need to run of engagement pass for that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't need to be the person that has to wait in line, get there like 2 hours early to beat the traffic.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah, yeah. You don't have to do that when you're A-list.
But yeah. Any other things on your side?
On my side, no, man. I'm still going through 24 season 2. This is a great show, man. I'm kind of mad I didn't watch this show when it was on TV.
Oh, okay. That's still one that I've seen an episode here and there, but I haven't actually sat down and like tried to watch it.
When you're going through the seasons and they're keeping each episode like an actual hour, you appreciate the inventiveness of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because it keeps everything, like, the continuity is on point as you go through episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And it keeps it realistic, too. Like, a lot can happen in an hour, but it keeps it paced. Yeah, man, other than that, nothing much. But, hey, y'all, you know, tell us which one you favor in this one. You know, let us know which film you're going for. We'll catch you on the next one, and take care.